PNB Coordinating Committee. The date is Tuesday, the 27th of May, 26th of May, and our meeting is starting at 8:41 Eastern Time. I'm Wendy Schrell, the convener of the committee. I'll take the role as I understand it. Jamie Ross?
Here.
Bonnie Simmons?
Here.
Grace Aaron?
Here.
Joe Wanzala? LaVarne Williams? And Fia Wangaza. I just want to say again that we are short a member from KPFK who's not an officer of the board, and from WPFW. I asked to have that put on the PNB agenda, so hopefully that'll get resolved. Okay, so I didn't really, the agenda as I understand it is pretty loose. That I felt that we really need to set a date for the next two in-person meetings so that we can start planning on how to get them together. The New York meeting is the next meeting, and then after that, I believe it's Houston. And then I was going to ask Grace as the interim ED, well, and the board chair, to kind of give us an update on how things are going, you know, what things that she can think of that we need to know about. And if anybody else has any agenda items, I'm willing to hear them. I mean, let's put them on. So, if you think of anything as we go, we can probably casually talk about them anyway. So nobody has anything else they think the coordinating committee...
You know, there might be something. I'd like to ask Jamie a finance question. Can we just put that on the agenda? I don't want to try to explain it now. It's a little complicated.
Sure. I do need someone to take notes. Do we have a second? I forget how we do this committee.
If you want to, Wendy, I could do it.
Oh, that's how we usually do it. That's right. Jamie volunteers, and we say okay.
Well, somebody volunteers.
I really appreciate it, Jamie. Okay. So as far as the order, I mean, I think we'll talk about the meetings first and then ED update and somewhere in there some finance questions. Okay, well, you know, we just came off of, it seems like just yesterday that we were at the PNB meeting in Berkeley, but we really need to set another meeting. The bylaws say it should be in June. Having just been in the last meeting in Berkeley in April, seems to me that is a little too soon. But what do other people think?
Definitely too soon.
Okay.
When is too soon?
The whole month of June.
Oh, yeah, too soon.
Okay. So that leads, then next is the month of July, which we all know starts with the 4th of July, which is kind of a bad time for a meeting. I'm going to say right now that KPFT has a major fundraising event on July 18th, Saturday night.
Hey, Joe.
Hey, Joe.
Hiya, Joe.
Hi.
Joe, we're talking about when to schedule the next in-person meeting of the PNB. It's going to be in the WBA iSignal area. We're pretty much in consensus that it shouldn't be in June because it's too soon after the last one.
Got it.
So we're talking about July right now.
Okay.
And then, you know, just keeping in mind, like if we do July, then, you know, we should keep in mind when will the next one be after that. We have to approve budgets for the next year. And so that's why the bylaws say that meeting should be in September.
So
if we're going to have it in July, then I hope it won't be the end of July because we need to go right back in September.
If we moved it to August, what if we had it in August, assuming that we'd have all the draft budgets by then?
Have the June meeting in August?
Yep. It just seems like, I kind of look at it two ways. One way, I'm really conscious of money and also, having listened to the last finance call, We have a couple of tough months ahead of us here. And I wonder if, and every time I've observed the budget meeting of the PNB or attended it, there's no way to get to everything. I just wonder if it would make any sense to wait to have the next meeting until we actually had draft budgets. But I don't have that schedule on me as to when the draft budgets are expected to have been approved. I can
provide that if you're interested.
I am kind of interested. It just seems like the last couple of times that there have been particular budgets that never even get touched in the PNB meeting, and then things kind of get out of control.
Actually, I could forward this to the committee.
You have the schedule of the timeline for approving budgets?
Yeah, actually, the Finance Committee agreed to this schedule and asked the CFO to, you know, to get the managers, business managers to follow it. But, you know, we have a schedule doesn't mean it'll be followed, but I will forward the schedule to the committee here.
As the chair of the Finance Committee, do you have any opinion on this, on what Bonnie is saying?
Well, usually it's been in the past, the budgets have been, you know, BAI's budget last year was being worked on like 2 days before we went to Washington. And PFW's budget actually wasn't in Washington, so. Based on past performance, we probably won't have all the draft budgets in August.
Right. And what I was saying, you know, starting this, traditionally this summer meeting is not the budget meeting. The budget meeting happens in September. So I guess we should be looking at this. You know, we've got two more meetings, in-person meetings left for this year. We have, you know, this whole election cycle starting. I don't know. You know, the bylaws say June and September are when these two meetings are supposed to happen.
I think the latest we should make it is latest is mid-July.
I'd really like to have a vacation in August, but, you know, it's not about me.
Yeah, I think mid-July, I think we should stick to the bylaws. I don't want to waste hours and hours and hours about, you know, can we skip a meeting? Can we do this? Can we do that? I'd just like to stick to the bylaws.
Well,
as closely as we possibly can. I think mid-July is an acceptable variance, but August gets into skipping a whole meeting for the year, and I don't like that idea myself.
Well, I'm looking at the calendar, and I could see July 10th, 11th, and 12th, or 24th, 25th, and 26th. I'm hoping we don't schedule it on the time of KPFT's big fundraiser. On the 18th, 17th, 18th, and 19th. But, you know, if that's the only date that the PNB can do it, then I guess we could talk about that. Really, I know I was talking to John Almella earlier in the week, and he has just kind of made some preliminary inquiries looking at places to hold the meeting. There may be, you know, we may want to, I don't know what the difference is on availability during any of those weekends, but it may be, you know, that we're going to have to come up with some creative ways to have this meeting in an inexpensive way in New York City. And so what I was wondering if we might want to do is pick two or three weekends and then have people start checking out availability on different kinds of places.
I think that's probably the best idea.
I
think so. So why don't we have every weekend in July except for the 4th with a preference for the 10th, 11th, and 12th, and 24th, 25th, and 26th. How's that?
Okay.
I think that sounds good. What I'm hoping that we can find another kind of a university kind of setup or a retreat center or something that's used to having people sleep there and feed them would be awesome. You know, we might be able to find a like-minded organization or something that can help us out on that. I don't know.
Well, it might work better in the summer.
Oh, so yeah, okay.
Universities are usually more available in the summer.
Yeah, I think so. There's all kinds of options in New York. There are so many places, so many universities.
Okay, then what we need is some help. You know, I'm going to, of course, ask the directors from New York to help us, you know, with any kind of ideas or putting out feelers in any way that they can. Maybe if we can get some local people to help us, too. But some of us can make cold calls from out here, too.
Yeah, John, do you think Ursula? I'll call Ursula and see if she can put some time and effort into it. Because she's based in Brooklyn, so she may be able to do some scouting.
It would be good if all the various people who were looking for places were somewhat who the other people were and were somewhat in touch with each other.
You're very far away, Jamie.
Oh, it would be good if all the people who were looking for places knew who the other people who were looking for places were and were somewhat
yeah.
in touch.
It's just kind of bad form to have more than one person call each place.
Yeah.
Okay, well, so was that Afia?
Yeah.
Hi.
Hi, Afia.
Okay, good. So we'll note that you're here. Good to hear from you. Well, I'm going to, so then should we call it a working group of the coordinating committee? Jamie, can you be on it, please?
Yes.
Okay. I'll be on it. And then we'll just kind of ask people to report to the working group, I guess.
Yes. You know, that can be done by email.
Right. Okay. Does anybody else want to be on it?
Hey, it's a working group, folks. It could be fun.
What did you say, Bonnie?
I'm a little too tied up with my work right now.
Okay. All right. When's your festival, Bonnie?
October.
Okay. October what?
3-4.
All right. Okay, then that's what we'll do then. We'll try and we need to like kind of set a deadline to try and figure out at least what weekend it's going to be. Can we, Jamie, should we like report back in 2 weeks or something?
Okay.
Could I urge the earlier the weekend of the 10th because the last weekend in July is a major, is a family reunion weekend for me.
Oh.
I have the same problem.
And then, well, what do people think about the 31st, August 1st and 2nd? Is that in the running too?
I think you ought to.
I think they should all be in.
Now that if he has brought up how the 25th is not so good, it's not so good for me either. Maybe we could look at the 10th, 11th, and 12th, and the 31st, 1st, and 2nd. Because you don't want to do it 18 because of your event.
Yeah, I'm thinking that I probably need to give back that weekend. I mean, it's, you know, KPFT could do their event without me. I'm just the chair of the development committee, and it's a fundraising event. But
it's understandable.
Yeah.
You know, I think when you guys start calling places, it usually sort of falls into place based on what they have to say.
Yeah.
It often depends on their booking. So does anybody object to looking at the 10th, 11th, and 12th, or 31st, 1st, and 2nd?
Well, I think I'm still going to look at all of them, but understand that
right.
The 24th.
Right. I mean, I guess focus on those. I mean, you may be coming back in 2 weeks and saying that the only good places are available on the weekend of the 18th or the weekend of the 25th. That's just how it falls sometimes.
Okay. I mean, I think we'll probably, this, like you said, it should fall into place as we start asking questions. Maybe nothing will be available anywhere, anytime. Forget it. Don't worry about it.
It shouldn't be that bad in the summer.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So next, we were just going to ask for if there's any kind of an update that Grace can give the coordinating committee as the executive director or the chair of the board.
Yeah. Well, WBAI's fund drive is doing a lot better than we had hoped. It's running about 30% over the past few fund drives. Jamie, did you have any more recent numbers than that? I think that we were over $600,000 as of today, $670,000,
yeah,
something like
they
that.
They were over $600,000 as of Sunday night, Monday.
Okay, so they did okay even over the weekend.
Yeah, actually, I think it's an overstatement to say we're doing 30% better than all the recent drives. We're doing 30% better than the last drive, which was horrible.
Oh, okay.
We're probably doing 15% better than... We're doing more than 30% better than the last drive, but we're probably doing more like 20% better than the drives before that.
Okay.
So, it's good.
Yes.
I mean, it's better, but it was so bad to begin with, you know.
Yeah.
We have a long way to go, so we're actually making enough money that we can call ourselves healthy.
LaVorne wrote a suggestion to Silverstein, the landlord, asking if he would be willing to match whatever we raise in a rent-raising drive, if we extended the fund drive for a day, and if he would, we'll see what happens with that. I don't think she's gotten a response to that yet. The last time LaVorne went to New York, she was there for about 5 days with Ahmad Anderson, our HR director. He was there most of the time as well, and they got a lot accomplished from their perspective, and what's happening is LaVorne's flying out tomorrow morning. Ahmad is flying out from Berkeley tonight. And they're going to be in New York for I don't really know exactly how long. LaVorne had Jonathan Alexander go to WBAI for about 5 days. He's just leaving. I think he left yesterday to go back to KPFK because KPFK is going to be starting a fund drive soon. So he helped straighten out the phone system, and they figured out what phone system is needed. It's estimated by the staff there that they're losing literally hundreds of thousands of dollars because of broken phones. But they have to wait until the fund drive is over to do a new phone installation, and we have to figure out where to get the money from. It's going to cost about $23,000 to put in a whole new phone system for WBAI. Let's see. They're going to use a Toshiba phone system, which is the same type of system used at the other stations in case some sort of coordination is eventually needed, a phone coordination between stations. Let's see what else.
You mean KPFK and A or so? I don't think we have that phone system.
Well, some of the other stations, at least. I think KPFA and KPFK. The next things that need to be done at WBAI are basically start fixing the systems and improving the programming there so that we get some more stability and more upside. I don't know what we're going to be doing exactly about staffing, restaffing WBAI, but... we will certainly be looking at the abilities and talents of the staff and volunteers who are there and seeing what we can do. KPFK needs Tony Bates, so Tony Bates will be going back to KPFK for 2 or 3 weeks because we need to make sure that KPFK's fund drive is also successful, and then he'll be going back to New York because he's been a great help in New York. And also, New York will be in fund drive again in I don't know how long. When's the next fund drive, Jamie? Do you know?
It's in July.
Okay.
July?
Yeah.
How many days has this drive been?
this drive is going to be 27. It's so far we're on day, 27 is Saturday, Friday's 26, Thursday's 25. We're on day 23, I think.
Okay. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow is right.
Right.
KPFT just had an 18-day drive, I think it was, and it was just brutal. It was too long.
Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah. So, I'm trying to think if there's any other news about WBAI.
Grace?
Yes.
I'm wondering if, are you planning to have Tony give the PNB another report, like from this set of, you know, if he could, like, kind of give us a report like he did before? How things are improving and stuff?
You know, he doesn't have enough preparation to do that for tomorrow night. Maybe.
No,
I
don't mean, it could be in writing. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just a suggestion.
Yeah.
I'm curious as to how things are improving.
Yeah, okay. The next thing is, as you know, I hired Les Radke to be the National Election Supervisor. So far, Les has hired a man by the name of Michael Sanchez for KPFK, and Shaw for KPFT as local election supervisor, and he's just on the brink of hiring somebody for KPFA, and has hired a woman by the name of Lydia, I don't remember her last name, for WPFW, and is coming to the final decision about an LES for WBAI. And so we will be in pretty decent shape regarding local election supervisors. And we're working on scripts for and CARTs. And the website looks pretty good with election material is up for, there's a bunch of election material up there, including the nomination package. I guess that's about it for the election. Let's see what else.
Grace?
Yes.
On the finance call, you had mentioned that you were hiring them as contractors. Has that been reversed?
Say that again?
I think on the finance call you mentioned that they were being hired on a contractual basis.
Who?
The LES and NES.
Yeah, I talked that over with Les Radke. He put a stipulation in the contract that people understood that they would not be eligible for unemployment insurance or any other benefits. So he seems to feel that it's fine, and so does Lynn Magno. If you want to call them with, I did bring it up with them, though. But
no,
I'm
concerned because that's what we got in trouble for.
I know that, but that was, I think that the lawsuit was an anomaly, and it was based on the fact that, do you know the details of that lawsuit?
It wasn't that, Grace. It was that we correctly hired as contractors, and it eventually led to an EDD audit. And I think that you have to be very careful to go through the questions that the EDD puts out as to what a contractor is versus an employee. And I think that the way that we have our LESs and NES work, they actually fit the qualifications as an employee rather than as a contractor. So it's just a little concerning, considering that.
Okay. Who has that information from the EDD audit? Do you know?
I think I sent it to the board, but I could send it again.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean about our audit?
Yeah.
The national office. I don't have that.
Okay, so can you run that by me again? Ken was interrupting me. So the point is that the points that make a person not a contractor should be adhered to. Is that what you're...
The points are that if you are supervised, if you are using equipment that is owned by the foundation. If you are working out of any locations that are not your own office, and in most instances, one of the qualifications, as I understand it, is that if you are being hired as a contractor, which is what I'm hired as in most of my work, you have a company and you have other clients. But my understanding, the way that we're hiring individuals as LEFs and NEFs, they don't fit those qualifications.
You know, I think that the IRS definition, my husband's a computer programmer. He spent many years employed as a contractor and worked on site in a cubicle with equipment owned by Lockheed or whoever, whatever other corporation he was working for, First Interstate Bank, on a 1099, not a W-2. There is some controversy about it, but all of those stipulations don't have to be necessarily adhered to. I'll run it by whoever I can think to run it by, probably be a tax specialist. I'll run it through. I'll ask John Kriegler about it, but I don't think, and I'll send him the contracts that we had these contractors sign. I don't think that every single one of those stipulations has to be completely adhered to. There's plenty of people who work as contractors and you know, on a site, in a business, that are still considered contractors and not on W-2s. But
okay, this is Wendy.
From what I remember of the suit, the Casey Peters suit, it's that he was directly told what to do exactly by Dan Siegel, and that's why that was part of his suit.
Okay, do you have an HR director, right? Has he looked at this?
That's right. We'll have to have
him. Have him look
director.
At it, and also understand that this audit involved other positions as well. And so it's just something. Bonnie's totally correct. You know, it's something to watch out for. And I hope you will run it by him. It's not really all appropriate to go too far into it on this call, I don't think.
Correct.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's a good point.
Okay.
You know, it may have already been gone through with Les and Ahmad. I'm a little bit foggy about it because I've kind of left it to them in the national office to work it out.
Okay.
So I'll try to get an update about that from Ahmad, but he'll be
okay.
Okay.
So the good news is we're about to hire. We've hired three, and we're about to hire one from KPFA and hopefully one from WBAI pretty soon. And so the elections are going to start any minute.
Yes.
And do you know anything about, has Les talked about whether he's going to use an election vendor or not? Election services vendor?
He hasn't totally focused on that yet.
Okay. All right.
Hey, is John on the call? John, are you still there? I just went to the civica.org site. Just incidentally, we need to fix something because when you go to download nomination form to civica.org uses an invalid security certificate. This certificate is only valid for PESCI. And so we need to fix that because you can't get to where you
Bonnie, you need to create a login account and give some information. Les asked us to do it that way.
Right, but it's not taking you to that.
Okay, I'll check it.
It's taking you to an invalid security certificate.
Okay, I'll check it. All right, thanks.
Okay, good. Anything else, Grace?
I'm trying to think. Any questions?
I have a question. I saw in one of the emails that Earl Maitland had become ill, and I was wondering if there was any update on his condition.
I asked LeVarn about that, and he seems to be at home. So I don't have any other information other than that, but obviously, if he's at home, he's not in the hospital, so that's probably good news.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I guess if that's the ED report and no one has any other questions, Grace, you had mentioned that you wanted to talk about something about finance questions for Jamie.
Susan wrote me with the question of when are we going to be hitting, coming upon the situation that we don't have cash to pay our bills? And how much in the way of unrestricted reserves do we have at the various stations? In other words, is our cash position enough to get us through this fiscal year, to the end of this fiscal year?
Well, we went through this at the last finance meeting. Actually, I'm sort of writing up a report for the board meeting tomorrow. Lavarne gave us a network-wide cash flow report, which predicted that we would end the year with $770,000 in unrestricted cash. The committee, while going through the report, found certain items which might lower that number by $100,000 or
$150,000 or $200,000.
Okay.
So, somebody mute the phone. Perfect. So we have 770, but we need what?
It might be as low as you could rewrite the forecast, perhaps, to make it lower, to make it more like 550 or something along those lines, which is not that much money, considering in previous year we've ended the year with more than $1 million in cash, and also that we have bills that have probably remained unpaid. So it's
what
not
do we
a very
spend
good
a
number.
Month? 1.5 a month or something?
What's that?
What do we spend every month?
Like 1.2, I think. We're $14 million for the whole year. So 1.2 or 1.3 a month. So it's well under a month. And we're relying on the fund drives that start in October to, you know, to give us a boost in cash. So that's not very much cash. One thing that was also decided at the Finance Committee meeting was to have another meeting of our Emergency Cash Committee, subcommittee, to investigate getting a loan around, you know, for the very reason that that amount of cash is not very much. It's kind of frighteningly low, really.
And what is the... the $300,000 that we have to pay back for the line of credit, and then we can...
This is another kind of thing that we have to deal with in very short order. We have to pay back the $300,000 line of credit from Wells Fargo. We have to pay it back by, I believe, August 1st, and it has to stay in the bank for a month, and then we can take it out again. So we have to come together. We have to come up with $300,000 before August 1st.
I have a question.
Yeah.
You know, it's always been weird that this line of credit is using cash for collateral. But I understand, you know, now that we've secured a line of credit, I imagine we would want to keep it so that we can use it if we need to, and we probably have to borrow on it to do that. Are you guys looking at that as opposed to just borrowing the money that's securing the line of credit in the first place?
Well, there was we asked Lavarne to look into finding other sources of collateral, if it's possible to use any restricted accounts as collateral for this line of credit and free up the cash. You're right. Now that the cash is sitting there, it's kind of like, you know, it's kind of a zero-sum game.
But it's real nice to have a line of credit that you can draw on in emergencies.
Right, it'd be nice to have it, but the thing we've already... It'd be
Bennett.
The fact that we've maxed it out and we're not paying it back, you know, that's not... That doesn't really do us much good.
Right.
It's like, we don't really have a line of credit anymore. So, you know, our situation is not at all good.
Right.
That's the sad, you know, truth of the matter. So, the cash committee is supposed to meet. I don't believe Susan set a date yet to... let's see, so I can pull up the language for you here if you're interested. And I know you are. No one's laughing.
Ha
ha. Bleak. Okay. Okay, let's see. Motion's passed. Okay, we passed this motion. The National Finance Committee has in hand information that lets us know that a potential cash shortfall is imminent and that the Cash Management Working Group should develop criteria for and terms of a loan application. So that's, so as far as how much money we have left by the end of the year, it seems like $770,000 is an optimistic projection.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really...
Very.
So, I mean... And let's see, we've had two stations have completed drives now, KPFT and KPFA, and both stations came up somewhat short, but not as short as you came up in the winter drive. Is that correct?
Who, T?
Yeah, both T, K and KPFT.
We came up somewhat short, but not...
Not $100,000.
Terribly short, but I will tell you, as someone who's on the air fundraising, we should not be optimistic about what the coming months hold, as you can feel what's going through. And... In many instances, people are still giving, but they're giving much smaller amounts because that's all they can do. And, you know, the financial implications of what's in the newspaper every day have everybody pretty nervous. It just was the toughest full fundraising that I remember.
Okay, and also... Let's see, KPFT Spring Drive update, which was forwarded by Wendy.
We only hit our daily goal one day in that whole drive. And a lot of the days were way low, and I think overall like at least 20% low. But we were also doing a fundraising telemarketing lapsed member campaign at the same time, which brought in $28,000. So in the end, we made 89% of our goal, I guess.
Right. It says you made, if you add in those lapsed member calls, that gave you $28,000. The drive itself gave you $275,000. The goal was $340,000. So if you add those two packages of money together, you got $302,000. So 89%, which is better than the winter drive, which was more like 77% or something. But still, it's low, and probably I don't believe that the KPFT cash flow forecast that you would make this goal, so one could adjust the forecast, and, you know, that whittles away the money we're going to have at the end of the year.
That's right. All of those, that number and that cash flow forecast assumes we're making all the goals, right?
Yes, and another issue is one thing that it's really unfortunate we don't have a WPFW member. I heard that their drive is doing poorly, but I don't have the numbers. Oh, and this is another issue with our cash flow forecast. We do not have the forecast for WPFW. I'm not 100% sure why, but there's some, you know, LaVarne would need to explain that. The station has not provided the information, is my understanding. So I believe that the national office put in sort of they either put in their budget as their cash flow forecast or something. So that might be, that might not be correct, or it could be fine-tuned. And if they indeed are missing their goal, that will once again lower the available cash. So, you know, our situation is bad, really. This is why the emergency cash committee, why Susan wants us to meet. Well, she's trying to organize a meeting to investigate more borrowing.
Wow.
That's not a great solution either, but I don't know.
Well, I hope we can get the information from PFW soon. It doesn't require like a visit there to find out about that, because it's really important.
Yes, it is. Especially, you know, since they didn't meet their winter drive goal. It doesn't appear to meet at least the rumor I heard is they're not meeting this goal. And the duck race was supposed to be a big money maker, and I don't know that they're meeting that goal. So.
Does anybody know, speaking of PFW, where they are on getting a PNB member?
They seem to be, kind of stalemated.
Okay.
I think they wanted to have a reconsideration of the eligibility of Campbell Johnson. I believe that's on the agenda. In new business for tomorrow night. That was a request by A.C. Bird and Jim Brown, I think from the in-person meeting, to be an agenda item.
Okay. All right. Is there anything else anybody wants to talk about as far as when the next meeting of the coordinating committee should be? I know we just said that we were going to meet back in 2 weeks to talk about places that we had found. Do we want to just schedule the coordinating committee for 2 weeks? Or should that just be a meeting of the working group?
Well, we wanted to, it might turn out that the working group finds that it's not possible, in which case we'd want to meet with the committee, right?
Okay, so I think we should schedule a meeting of this committee in 2 weeks then.
Sounds good.
But you mean the working group on a location?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, maybe you guys could write us as soon as you've got information, you could just write it up for everybody and email it to us just so we know how it's coming or something.
Yeah, but why don't we go ahead and schedule a meeting of this committee in 2 weeks?
Okay.
Wendy?
Yeah.
I just thought of two little items, housekeeping items, that I'd like to discuss very briefly. Would that be okay?
Sure.
Okay, but just to square away the meeting, so you're saying there's a meeting on the...
I'm talking about June 9th, I think.
9th, okay.
Does that sound all right? Tuesday, June 9th? I mean, June 7th?
June
Wait a
6th.
Minute.
June no, 9th.
June 9th,
is
right. I was on July that time. June 9th, 8:30, yes? Okay.
Okay. Two things. One is a request from me as the chair of the PNB, and that would be to get the email addresses of all the chairs of the LSB. Now, I have WPFW's, and I have KPFK's, of course, and I have WBAI, Mitchell Cohn's. But I need KPFA chair and KPFT's chair email address, because I'd like to find out if the local LSPs are performing their functions in terms of evaluating PDs and GMs on an annual basis and so on and so forth. And so I'd like those email addresses. And then the next thing is, as the IED, and to some degree as the chair, I'd like to see if we can get the minutes done quicker, because I need the motions. Sometimes we pass motions, and they need to be implemented right away. And if I have to ch- space around for the wording of the motions, the final wording. It's difficult. Wendy, do you think there's any possibility? Should I call Richard directly, or what do you think? Do we
do you
need
have his number?
I do. Do you think we need to allocate more funding for that, or
ask him.
Okay. All right. I'll just do that.
I think it's better if you call him than me.
Okay, that's fine. That's a good
he understands the importance of it, so.
Yeah.
But the other thing would asking us to challenging ourselves to at least for motions that we know we're going to raise that they that there be some kind of deadline to have them in. You know, that they're in like 24 hours. If not 48 hours before the call, so that we're just modifying an existing motion as opposed to starting from scratch. You know, myself being a regularly guilty party.
Yeah.
Can we not ask for that, or... is that generally considered too unreasonable?
It's supposed to be a whole week. It's a special meeting, so everything's supposed to be a whole week in advance.
I think we've adhered to that pretty well.
I don't know. It seems like people are adding stuff up till the last minute.
Maybe we should just do a reminder.
For any additional motions, you mean? I think it's unreasonable to expect the committees only to meet. If we meet as the national board every 2 weeks, and there has to be a week notice for all the motions, including committee motions, it just makes it impossible because the committees could only meet that in that 1 week. We'd have too many committees jammed into 1 week. So I think we arrange the agenda so that it has committee reports and motions, so that the motions don't have to be noticed a week in advance if they're coming from a committee. At least, you know, I think that's reasonable. Otherwise, it just doesn't work.
This is Joe.
Go ahead, Joe.
Is there something that I'm not understanding about are all teleconference calls then special meetings? Is that the idea? Is that
of the Pacifica National Board? Yes, that's what the bylaws say.
Okay.
That the only regular meetings are the in-person meetings.
So then, the difference between special meeting and regular meetings is that special meetings are only. The only items that can be on the agenda are items that the meeting was called for or items that
were noticed 7 days in advance, yeah.
And that's the rule. So that then trumps whatever Robert's rule says about how items can be added to the agenda then.
You know, it's
inconsistent with Robert's rules is what I'm...
Well, it's also inconsistent with a particular... part of the bylaws, they're different. We went over this in the governance committee. What we've been trying to do is adhere to the most stringent interpretation of the bylaws, which is to have, whenever possible, motions giving their full wording noticed as 7 days or more in advance when possible. But the bylaws... say in Article 3, Section 6, meetings of the members, and it says it's B, special meetings. Said request for special meetings shall be made in writing and shall specify the general nature of the business proposed to be transacted at said meeting. Said written request must be submitted to the chairperson of the board, the executive director, or the foundation secretary. So, and this is under Section 6, meetings of the members. But the interpretation some people gave is that this is only meetings of the entire membership, but it could be interpreted to mean any class of members. So by this interpretation, this section of the bylaws, said written notice, a said request for a special meeting shall be made in writing and shall specify the general nature of the business proposed to be transacted at said meeting. That would be the most broad interpretation of the necessity of notice. And then the most narrow interpretation is later, where I think it might have a more narrow, there might be a more narrow wording. But I don't have that in front of me at the moment. Can anyone else remember it?
Not offhand. I can't. I'm just so, and I see what you're saying there, but it seems to add another layer.
Okay, here it is. It's Article 6, Meetings of the Board of Directors. Section 4, Notice. Special meetings shall require only 7 days advance notice, but shall also require telephonic notice by leaving a message at the telephone number given to the Foundation Secretary for such notice by each director, and shall specify the purpose of the meeting. No additional business not stated in the notice shall be conducted at a special meeting. Notice of all meetings shall be placed on the Foundation's website and announced a minimum of 3 times daily on air for 5 consecutive days on all Foundation radio stations, beginning whenever reasonably possible, no later than 10 days before the date of said meeting.
So it seems like we have a couple of layers of types of meeting. It seems like there's 3 types of meeting, but there doesn't seem to be a distinction made between saying that all telephonic conferences are routine telephonic meetings are special meetings, and the type of special meeting, which, so in other words, there's no difference between a special meeting that's called for a particular purpose, as described by Grace. You know, when, for example, over the last year, so maybe not so much the last few months, several board members have called special meetings for particular purposes, and the only particular items that can be discussed on the agenda, you know, that meeting was called for, as opposed to, so when we schedule regular meetings, telephonic conferences, those are essentially the same as specially called meetings. Is that, I'm just asking a question, I'm trying to understand the category.
Don't you remember this, last year, this was Yosh's issue, he tried to put forth a bylaws amendment saying what, that there could be a third class of meetings, and people voted it down. I think we're getting bogged down here.
Tried to make a third class of meetings, and it was more complicated. It's just a foible of the bylaws that the only way we can look at our telephonic meetings is as special meetings. You know, there's a different point to this for me. It's alarming to me because my understanding of logically how this ought to work is that many things should be discussed in committee and then be brought to the board, having already had the focus of a committee put on them, so that some of the kinks in these motions can be worked out ahead of time, and people can more coolly and rationally actually look at the language that we're putting out. I think it's really disconcerting and in some instances really troubling when we write motions on a phone call on a P&B meeting, because we just get sort of swept up in it. And as I look back at a lot of the language of things that we've passed, I think it's problematic. It's problematic to implement them. Sometimes it's just a case of a group of people sort of contributing to amendments, and we end up with things that are kind of flawed. And I wish that we could try to come with language ahead of time so that people would have a few days to be able to actually digest it and think about how it's going to be implemented if it does get passed. So it's more that to me than it is the question of trying to fit things so carefully into the language of bylaws around the meetings, because we already know from last year's experience of trying to fix that it's really thorny, and the best we can do is what we do. I do appreciate that in this last year that we have been paying more attention to the 7 days so that we have roughly an agenda so that we know what's ahead of us on the next telephone conference call.
I think we've gotten to a point that's workable. We try as best we can to have the full wording of as many motions that will be on the agenda as we possibly can have. But to demand that the exact wording of every motion will be in writing 7 days prior to the special meeting hamstrings the committees too much. They have to have the latitude to meet within the week before the meeting and come up with motions. So I think we've hit a kind of a compromise. We do the best we can to have as much of the exact wording as much in advance as possible, but there has to be some latitude so that committees can meet in the 7 days prior to a meeting and come forward with motions.
Okay.
This is Joe. Well, maybe we belabor the issue somewhat, but I just want to say quickly, I think this issue is, at least in my mind, not clear. I mean, I think the important thing is, I don't think all people on the committee are operating under the same understanding. And I think what's most important is that we all are operating under the same understanding. Because if Robert's rules don't apply if they trump by the special meeting rule, that's fine. But I was operating under a different understanding. That's all. So maybe we can get this clarified. Hello?
Yeah?
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, I think it might be if you wanted to have it taken up as a question by the governance committee.
Right.
I don't understand.
Because, I mean, certainly for my discussions with George over the last several months about how the governance works, that's not been in my understanding of how things work. I mean, certainly we've had special meetings that people call for specific purposes. And I do remember Wendy's good point that this had come up last year, but it never seemed clear in my mind how that was resolved. And it seemed that, you know, it was never really clarified how that, you know, at least in my mind, how we should proceed, and we should do that just so it would avoid misunderstanding.
Okay, can I, as the chair, I'm just going to make a sort of an editorial statement here. I mean, this is all great, but we also have to keep in mind that we're the stewards of a multi-million-dollar network who doesn't have enough money to make it to the end of the year, and we can dick around with all these little policy issues and how to present motions and stuff, but I really hope that we can concentrate on how we're going to pull out of this financial mess and try and limit all of our motions that don't deal with that, whether they're 7 days in advance or 20 days in advance.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So I'm just going to ask us to just be thinking about that. And other than that, is there anything else that anybody wants to talk about with the coordinating committee? Okay, I just added the June the 9th meeting to the calendar at kpftx.org. I hope that we'll have, if we don't have any kind of substantive thing to report, then maybe we won't have that meeting. I don't know. I'll be in touch with you guys, okay?
Great.
Okay. Is there a motion to adjourn?
Yep.
Any objection?
No. Thank you, Wendy.
Thanks.
Okay, thanks everybody for coming.
Thank you,
right.
Everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye.